The Gist. Peter Rowe, MD, the founder and director of the Chronic Fatigue Clinic at Johns Hopkins Children's Center, has produced a rather staggering number of firsts. First to document OI in ME/CFS, first to run an orthostatic intolerance trial in ME/CFS, etc. Now he's published the first book on orthostatic intolerance, Living Well with Orthostatic Intolerance, A Guide to Diagnosis and Treatment for People with These Diseases. The book was primarily written for patients and their families, but I think the place I would want to see it most would be sitting on a doctor's shelf. Besides abundant information on Dr. Rowe's medication dosing, the book shows how he works with a patient, tweaking this and that medication until the patient either hopefully gets significantly better or even recovers. While dramatic recovery stories are found in the book, this isn't a do this and cure OI book. While Rowe is often able to help, he is clear that he hits a wall with some patients. These are not diseases that succumb to a kind of cookie-cutter approach. Each patient is an individual, and it can take time and patience to track down the combination of treatments that work best for her or him. One of the book's great contributions is to empower physicians and patients not to give up too early in their journey and to recognize that they could be a step or two from life-changing treatment. Similarly, the book empowers patients to look for the kind of healthcare provider who is willing to experiment. If they can find that practitioner, they have a real shot at better health. The diagnosis section outlines a standing test that patients can take at home and bring the results to their doctor. If the test is positive, patients can take the results, plus perhaps the paper that validates the test, and/or blogs from Health Rising to help educate their doctors. Rowe describes the symptoms associated with these types and subtypes. The large array of non-pharmacological approaches, from cooler showers and baths to small, low-carb meals, to using shoes with a higher heel, to elevating the head of the bed, compression, and cooling garments, increasing salt intake, etc., that can help. One of Rowe's more intriguing discoveries concerns the movement restrictions, increased mechanical tension, and postural asymmetries he finds in many of his patients that can set off the symptoms of orthostatic intolerance. Relieving these via gentle manual physical therapy techniques such as neural mobilization, myofascial release, strain-counter-strain maneuvers, and craniosacral therapy often helps patients tolerate aerobic activity better. Rowe describes the many conditions, some of them quite obscure, that can be associated with OI. Treatment algorithms he's developed over decades of practice, talks about diet, and provides an in-depth look at drugs he commonly uses. For me, I learned that stimulants, antidepressants, and birth control pills can all play a role in some patients' treatment regimens. The most fascinating part of the book, though, were the 10 case histories detailing the different kinds of orthostatic intolerance that Rowe sees and the many treatment approaches he employs. What worked for the dancer, see blog, was different than what worked for the teenager with purple feet, the spinal patient, or the complex case. After the book review comes a talk with Dr. Rowe, during which he talks about how the book came about, the role blood vessel problems may play in all sorts of diseases, why it's important to improve circulation before trying to exercise, a patient he hasn't been able to help, a new kind of spinal problem that can cause orthostatic intolerance, and much more.